All right. Good morning, everyone. Guess where we're going this morning? Anybody remember? 2 Peter. Way to go, Brother Mike. Amen. 2 Peter. We'll start this today. Excited about that. I'm excited about the timing. You know, the beginning of the year, always an exciting time. Every day ought to be exciting, right? But the beginning of the year, you know, you start thinking about, boy, what did the Lord have me to do this year? And man, I hope that's on your mind, it's on your heart. So we'll use this, we'll teach through this book, Lord willing. But today, I want to focus in on that thought there a little bit from 2 Peter. And I really think that, you know, if you look at 2 Peter and our author and our penman and the timing, so it's very similar to 2 Timothy. Okay, because it's at the end of Peter's life here, as 2 Timothy was at the end of Paul's life. As a matter of fact, let's look at, just to give you that reference, look at 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 12. It says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Look at these next two verses. It says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." So Peter knows that his day of martyrdom is near, and he's writing, I think, how to finish well. I think these things, these three chapters here, three short chapters, will give us some keys to how to finish our race and how to finish our race well here. And so let's look at three key words just kind of introducing this book. One of them is remembrance. We saw that he mentioned this in verse 12. He said, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Also in verse 15, at the end of that, he says, to have these things always in remembrance. And then over in chapter 3, you'll see in verse 1, at the end of that, he says, "I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance." So remembrance is important in this book. And then, probably the key word and the most important theme of this book, or most prevalent theme of this book, is the word knowledge. Knowledge, know, or knowing is mentioned at least 12 times in this book. And 7 times in the book, in 3 chapters, it speaks specifically to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we see that many times. We won't go into all those verses, but there are 7 times in here, and we'll see some of those in a minute. And then the third word is the word I want to focus on today, and we'll kind of take these in reverse order as we go through these lessons. But the third word is diligence. Look with me in verse chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." Then if we look over also in verse 10, it says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." And then if we go over to chapter 3, verse 14, you'll see again, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." So let's say that if the key to finishing our race well is knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think that's accurate, then we must also say that it's going to require some diligence and some remembrance. Let's focus on diligence. What does diligent mean? What do you think the word means? Not everybody at once. Sir? Careful. All right, I like that. Meticulous. Oh, that's a good word. Faithful. But you're ahead of me on this. You know, when I thought about diligence, definitely meticulous, I'd be thinking about that. Paying attention to detail. Somebody that's diligent, right? you know, hardworking, yep, I definitely, I'll think that would involve diligence, right? But when I looked the word up, what Webster had to say about it, he added some to my understanding. So what he said was this. He said that the first word that he used to describe diligence was steady, constant. And I started to realize that diligence is more about persistence than it is what I maybe thought it was about excellence. Certainly involves excellence, but what he said was, it's steady, constant effort. That's what I said. To accomplish a task, a duty, or a desire without delay and with attention and zeal. Well, I said, okay. So really, diligence, guys, when we think about it, we're in January now. If we're going to be diligent this year, what does that mean? That we're going to be steady, constant, working to achieve or accomplish our desire throughout this entire year. That's what I hope. And that really is faithful. It really is what God requires of a steward, isn't it? That he be found faithful, see? And so this is what God's requiring of us, is that we be faithful. Now, I want to say this about, I gave you a verse. Does anybody remember the verses? Actually, it was three verses I gave you to memorize, to study before we started this. Brother Mike, you remember? Matthew? Praise God. I'm glad Brother Mike's here. Amen. We're going to get some of his notes later. That's exactly right, brother. So let's go over there for a minute. Matthew chapter 11, because I want to pull out a phrase from that. Look at verse 28. This is the verses I asked you to memorize. I asked you to continue on with that. But it said, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," and here's the phrase, "learn of me." Learn of me. What about going to the school of Christ in 2026? What about that? Wouldn't it be a great school to enter into? Boy, it says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, while you're in Matthew, I want you to flip over to Matthew 22. Because here's what I want to talk to you about. What's your plan this year in the school of Christ? What is your plan to increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ this year? What's on your radar? You know, you plan out a vacation, don't you? You make a trip, you make plans, preparations. What's our preparation for the school of Christ? Samuel took a test yesterday, and you studied a little bit for that at least, didn't you? At least thought about it, right? So, you know, we got things that come up in our life, and if they're important to us, we put some preparation into it. So I'm going to try to challenge us a little bit today in regards to this. But if we're going to learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't want to leave any knowledge of Him undone, you know, or unused or unattained. If it's available, and it is available to us, then we should seek after it. Now look at Matthew 22, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 22, verse 28 and 29. It says, "Therefore, in the resurrection," this is the, remember, they're asking Jesus these questions, right? These Sadducees. And it says, "Whose wife shall she be of the seven? They all had her." And they're trying to tempt the Lord Jesus, to trick him. And look at verse 29. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." Two things there, Brother Roger. The scriptures, the written truth of the Word of God, where God reveals Himself and His will to us. Amen? Right. But then look at the next thing. Not only the written truth, but He said, "nor the power of God." That's when the truth comes alive in us. You understand? Now, when we start exercising faith and obedience in the Word of God, now all of a sudden we start to experience the power of God in our lives. Amen. So it's more than just truth. Those Pharisees knew those verses. Okay? But they weren't applying them properly, and they certainly weren't interpreting them properly, so they could be applied right to our lives. But they had a false motive. They weren't obedient. And Jesus said, you don't know anything about the truth, and you don't know anything about me and the power of my Father working in your life. That's the reality of the truth being played out in our lives. Amen. And so, let me ask you something. Can God transform a person? Really? Okay, well, I mean, like, in what way? Can he transform his mind? He changes his thinking. Yeah. Okay, can he change his desires? His actions, his priorities, his ambitions? How do you know? Do you know because the Bible says so? Or do you know because he did it in you? Both. You're exactly right. Yes, it's true if the Bible says so. And hopefully, we've already, because we believe that, we've already seen it now and experienced it in our lives. Amen. By the way, if you haven't experienced the power of God in your life, it doesn't change the truth. Right. It just means that you don't know the power of God. See? It hasn't been lived out in your life. It doesn't change. It's still true, brother. The Word of God is always true, right? But for us to actually experience God work in our lives, it must require faith and obedience. And so, I love to be able to say both. Yeah, the Bible says so, but guess what? God did it in me as well. Amen. And I was thinking about Colossians 1:27. You know, talking about the power of God. You know, when Paul was writing unto them, he said it is the hope of glory is Christ in you. Talking to those Gentile believers there. You know, so the hope of glory is literally Christ in us. If God is going to get the glory, he's going to get it through his people. Amen. We already know the heavens are doing their part. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, what are we doing our part? Amen. Letting the power of God live through us so that God would get the glory. Because there's sure enough, look, and Brother Oakley, thankfully, he reminds me every once in a while when I say something that's right, he'll say, that had to be God. You ain't that smart. And I said, yep, thank you, brother. You're right. It had to be the Lord. If anything good happened, if somebody got some help in some way, it had to be the Lord. Amen. I mean, and we know that to be true. So let's go back to 2 Peter. And I want to challenge you here with some thoughts. Number one, what's your plan this year for church attendance? Now, this is a Sunday school class, all right? So you guys are, you're already ahead of the game. You notice that every seat's not full yet. You notice that, right? And a lot of them are next door teaching, and we got them in other classes and things like that. But what's your plan for church attendance? Do you have to plan? I mean, or is that predetermined? I think I got that one settled a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? If the door's open, Brother Justin, I plan on being here. Amen. And I know that's right for you, too, because ever since you got here, you've been that way. Now, I thank God for that. Thank God for sending you our way, brother. That's a blessing. But church attendance. But let me challenge you a little bit more, since you're the Sunday school hour and you guys are already faithful to attending service. How about if we committed this year to not only attending service, but to attend it with a little bit more focus, a little bit more expectation? You know what I tend to find out? I get a lot of what I expect. Amen. If I expect God to speak to me, generally, God speaks to me. If I show up and I don't expect it, my heart ain't right, and I don't usually get a lot. So what about if we increase our focus, our attention? So I think that your commitment to being in a church service doesn't begin at 10 o'clock. I think it began yesterday. You know, when we were praying, preparing, and getting to bed on time so that I could not only be here, but I could actually be awake when I got here. Amen. Yeah, it helps, guys. It helps me a little bit if, you know, you guys are a little bit, if you're awake. So those kind of things are what I'm talking about planning. And here's the other thing. If we had more focus, maybe we start bring a notepad with us and a pen. Don't you think if the God of the universe were to say something to you, wouldn't you want to write it down? Maybe you forget it, you know? And maybe you write in your Bible, and that's fine. Maybe you write on your bulletin. I do that generally, and sometimes in my notebook. But either way, I just like to take notes, because here's what I found. That when I hear it and I write it, I tend to remember it better. You know, and I found out the teenagers do that too, because what we've done is ask them to start taking sermon notes and to give them a little reward for doing that. And I've learned, Brother Roger, they learn how to listen. And they remember key points. Now, they don't always think the same key points that I think, but nonetheless, they listen better. They're listening with some intent and they're writing it down. And they tend to remember it better. So I think it's the same for us. So church attendance. Let's go to the second thing. What about the Bible? We already said that if we were going to increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ this year, if we were going to go to the school of Christ, that it certainly would involve His Word, right? And well, Peter thought so, because if you look at verse 15, from there on to the end of this chapter, he's talking about the Word of God. Look at verse 16 with me. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables, okay, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." But on further down, he said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy," in verse 19. More sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? His personal experience. Even though it was tremendous. And there was only a couple other guys that even experienced that, where the Lord Jesus Christ was up on the holy mount and transfigured and glorified, and His Father spoke, and all those things that happened. But He said, what I saw, what I heard, and what I experienced is not as sure as what we have written down right here. Boy, I tell you what, you ever been to a magic show? You ever been tricked? Your eyes can play tricks on you. Sometimes you hear things differently than what they are, but the Word of God is always sure. Amen. So that's going to have to be a critical part of our development, our growth in our school of Christ. So what's your plan this year for reading the Word of God? And there's a difference between reading and studying, but let's just focus on reading it first. I'm confessing to you that in my Christian life now of 30 years this year, I had never made it an effort or thought it was critical to read through the entire Bible in 1 year until last year, first time I did it. I actually read through it in like 10 months. Studying the Bible, reading the Bible all the time. But sometimes, you know, I think maybe that's a good idea, just once in a while. I don't know if that's your goal. I don't know if that's something you should do or not. But I do know this, you should be reading the Word of God. And here's the thing, you know, I studied this, and by the way, I changed my Bible reading plan for this year, okay, to where I would put more emphasis in the New Testament, and I think that's a good idea. You know, there's only 260 chapters in the New Testament. You know, you read a chapter and a half and read through the New Testament a couple of times. You know, it's not that hard, you know, to do that. If you read three chapters a day in the New Testament, you can read through the New Testament four times in a year. That's not a bad idea. Maybe that's something you should consider. Whatever it is, if you read two Old Testament chapters, you can read through that in a year. And if you read three chapters on average, you can read the whole Bible in a year. I don't know. I'm just saying there's about 1,000 chapters in the Bible. How are you going to take them? How are you going to approach that? You know? And I think that Bible reading needs to have a good plan. And I think you need to study. And as you go through to Sunday school, and we're doing 2 Peter now. I don't know where the Lord's going to take us next, but you're going to spend more time in those books, obviously. Third thing. So not only reading the Bible, but what about Scripture memory? Hey, Brother Justin, I looked up, I ordered those books that you gave me. You gave me a reference on that. I ordered a couple of those different Scripture memory books to see what we like best. And maybe we get one for Sunday school so that we can be learning Scriptures together. Or if not, we'll come up with our own list if I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's important that you're hiding Scripture in your heart. How many people made their kids learn verses, right? Okay, right. Do we make ourselves learn verses? I hope so, you know. We're harder to train than our kids are. I don't know if y'all knew that or not, okay. But I'll tell you what, the best thing that happened to me, Brother Bo, is when I was early in my Christian life, is they let me help with at the church we were at before with Awanas. I didn't know any Scripture, so I just started memorizing what the kids were memorizing. You know what, man, I still have those scriptures. What a blessing that was. And then continue to add to it. I tried when I started teaching the high school kids here 20 years ago to keep up with them, and I found out I can't do that. No, I don't even try anymore, but I do need to be adding something. And I do need to be memorizing scripture. Those guys are good at it, and they got sharp minds and a little bit more time maybe than I have as well. But maybe a scripture a week. I don't know what your goal is, but let's get a plan for it, okay? And I'll give you more on that next week, Lord willing, those books come in, and I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing. Fourth thing, what about growing in our service? So not only growing in our Bible reading, our scripture memory, our church attendance, being diligent, being steady, being constant in those things, but what about helping others? I think it's a good idea. I wish Brother Green was here. I appreciate Brother Green, you know, and his emphasis on evangelism and bringing that emphasis again to our church. And, how many tracts you think you could pass out in a week? I mean, think about it. Surely you could do two or three. I could probably do that. I found out, you know, there's a lot of places you go that there's people there. I don't know if y'all noticed that. Go to Walmart, there's people everywhere, you know. But no, go wherever there's people, there's opportunity, you know. I remember, we didn't do this, I wish I would have, Brother Roger, but I remember when that QT, Brother Nathan, you remember probably went by there, that QT in Cleveland first opened, they always had lines of cars lined up there, they had that fuel really cheap. I said, let's just start on one end and go to the other end. You know, there's people out there and let's just pass out the tracts. You're crazy, Dad. I said, I think that was actually a pretty good idea. I wish I would have followed through on that, you know. I found out that, look, if they walk in the store, you actually can just put the tract right in there where that gas handle is, put it in the gas handle, and they'll find it when they get back. And I've seen that works too. But so what about passing out tracts, getting the gospel into people's hands? I'm just trying to challenge you this morning a little bit before we even get to the book here, is that what's our plan for the year? Don't use James 4 as an excuse to not plan. That's not what James 4 teaches. What it teaches is don't be arrogant and presumptuous that this is what you're going to accomplish, but say, if the Lord wills, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. If the Lord give me health and if the Lord give me breath and opportunity this year, I'm going to pass out more tracts than I did last year. Okay? I'm going to try to pass out a couple of tracts every week at least. You know what I'm saying? Keep them on your mind. If you don't have it on your mind, as days go by and you don't think about it, make it part of your lifestyle. Once it becomes part of our lifestyle, Brother Roger, don't you love to be around guys like Brother Mike Flick when we were over there in South Africa? You know, they always got a track in their pocket everywhere they go. You know, they go in the store, they hand them a track. I've learned a lot about how to pass tracks out from men like that. I'm going to tell you, one of the best witnesses I've ever seen is Brother Dobbins. Brother Dobbins is phenomenal. Getting a conversation started with people about the gospel. I appreciate our missionary to Zambia there, Brother Dobbins. But Brother Gerard, who Brother Green's with now, I think it was him, but he said, and I use this all the time, I just say, can I give you this? I said, this information changed my life. And I just give it to him. You know, I changed my life. And it did. That truth, that changed my life. And Brother Mike Flick would always say, this is for you. Make it personal. This is for you. And so I like that. But what about passing out some tracts? What about the gospel? What about the second thing? What about discipleship? How are we going to help others this year? Who are we going to help grow? Let's start at our home first. How many family devotions are we going to have this week? And each week. You know, and how many times are we going to read the Bible, maybe with our wife, or pray together, or whatever it may be. I don't know what your family situation is, but there's somebody out there that you could be helping. Somebody here in the church and somebody outside the church. You probably got a neighbor. But here's what I found out. If things aren't on your schedule, they don't get done. Look, I've been, a lot of y'all know me and have known me for a long time. Health and chiropractic is important to me. That's what I do. I believe in it. I've trusted that to my health and my family's health to that. But you know what I noticed? My wife and I were thinking about this the other day. And it's like, why is it that the hardest person to ever get adjusted, it seems like, is my wife? And we're together all the time. And I realized something. It wasn't on the schedule. So guess what I said? When's your schedule? 3 times a week, you're going to get adjusted. When's it going to be? She said, Tuesday morning, Thursday night, Saturday morning. Done. Got you on my schedule. Finally. It only took 30 years. You know, got her on a schedule. But hey, if it's not in our schedule, if we don't plan for it, a lot of times it don't happen. Even though we think it's important, don't we? So many other things crowd in on us. I hate that. Sister Barbara, thank you for the way you're helping Megan grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish she was here this morning. She's doing so well. I'm just so excited for what God's doing in her life. And Brother Oakley, I'm trying to help you, brother, and I know you're helping me. Amen. I tell you what, Brother Oakley's sharp. You've grown a lot in the last year. Tremendously. Brother Oakley's sharp, but I found out something. His cows are dumb. He sold me a cow, Brother Roger, and I realize why now. It must have been the dumbest one he had, you know. It had a calf, and the calf's half in the hay ring and half out, and it can't get undone. It don't know what to do. I took him a picture. I said, man, you sold me a dumb cow. Well, that's about normal, though, isn't it, brother? They always do what you don't expect them to do. But somebody else needs our help. And then let's talk about probably the most important thing. What's our plans for our prayer life this year? I think, obviously, the majority of the time that you spend in prayer should be at the beginning part of the day, your focused prayer time. You should begin your day with prayer. It should be in a spirit of prayer throughout the day. But what I'm focusing on this year is to have other focused times of prayer, even though they won't be as long as the morning time. Maybe like Daniel. You know, Daniel prayed how many times a day? 3 times a day. 3 times a day. So maybe it's a few minutes at lunch and a few minutes, of course, in the evening. You know, whatever it works. But somehow, I have good intentions sometimes. I go to work. Man, I want to be in a spirit of prayer. I want to take some time. And before I know it, man, I mean, I got busy with everything going on, people and things going on around me. And I haven't. So I need to stop, take a few minutes, get in tune with my Father, what He wants me to do, what He's doing, and then go at it again. So maybe we increase in that area. And by the way, when you pray, I've encouraged you to do this already, at least in one of those prayer times, is to pray by list. Develop a prayer list. Develop a prayer journal. I just can't be consistent praying for you without that. You know, you're on my prayer journal and my prayer list, and that helps me. Important things, by the way, you want to be able to write down when the Lord answers some things, you know. Some prayers are ongoing and God's doing them, but they're just incremental and they never stop. You never stop praying a certain way. For Brother Mike Bolton, brother, God has answered my prayer in your life. Man, you know, Brother Mike's now, he's going to the ladies' prison now, Brother Roger, trying to help them. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yeah, they opened the door for that. He's already going on Monday nights with me. He's going on Monday mornings with some other men into a different area of the prison. And now he's going to be going in on Thursday mornings, I think, right, in the ladies' prison. And, man, I'd say that God has strengthened him and his inner man. And that's what I prayed for. That's what I asked for, you know, is that God would do that. Because that's what you told me to pray for. When I asked you, you said, I want to grow. I want to be used of the Lord. And man, I tell you what, the testimony, by the way, that you shared last week at the prison was tremendous. And Brother Oakley, your preaching was the best last week. It's amazing to see how you guys are growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So pray according to a list and you'll get to see God answer your prayers. And then not only that, but pray Scripture. Because Scripture is true. If there's a promise in the Word of God, then use it to pray it back to God. God is faithful to answer. And then use the Psalms as some of your how to adore God. And then always finish your prayers with thanksgiving. Amen. And that'll give you a little outline there. And Brother Roger's got much better messages on that. Y'all know the ones he's preached on that before. Just look that up. That Acts that he preached here a couple years ago. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to read a few verses here, and then I want to talk about these first five verses here. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So we know who he's talking to, right? It's those believers, those that have been saved. He says, with us through the righteousness of God. There is no other righteousness and no other way to be saved. And it says, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given in unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. I want to stop there and I want to touch on just a handful of things here. Four things really here from those verses. Number one, the way to increase grace and peace in our life, according to verse 2, is through the knowledge of Jesus and God our Father. You see that? It says grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's why we're having this conversation. This is why I'm challenging you and myself that we would increase in the knowledge so we'd have more grace in our lives, more peace in our life. How many people are interested in more grace and more peace? Besides me, okay? Because, man, I need it. I need that. I'm addicted to that, as Brother Roger said, to peace. I'm addicted to it and I need grace. And we're talking about living grace here, amen? And then look at the next thing. Not only is it the way to grace and peace, but in verse 3 it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Notice that word given. It's given by the one who has all power. Amen. And the only one that has divine power, he's given this unto us in all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how do you get it? Look again. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I think already he's trying to get the point across to us that our knowledge of Jesus Christ and God our Father is going to be the key to us having grace and peace and power in our lives. It is him having really more of us is what we're really talking about. Because it's his power. I don't have any power. I only have what he does in me and through me. Amen. And so, but I have everything that I need, it says, for life and godliness. It's all there. Everything. And then verse 4, the third thing here. Again, we see the word given. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God has given us, first of all, this divine power that we need, and now he's given us these precious and great promises, okay, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Not only do we have divine power, but we also have divine nature. Amen. And this is given unto us, amen, by God our Father. How do we know that and how do we get this is through those great and precious promises. Do you know the promises? See, standing on the promises of Christ our King, right? Do you know the promises? Can't stand on them if you don't know them.
Right.
Yeah? So this is where Scripture memory comes in. Our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and utilizing that in our lives. Given to us. Now look at the fourth thing, verse 5. Now, guess what? We see, and besides this, giving all diligence. You know what? We've had a lot given to us. Now, it's our turn. Now it's our turn to give something. And what are we supposed to give? Diligence. Diligence. Constant, steady effort to increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Steady, constant, diligent effort. We're supposed to add to our faith. That faith, going back to verse 1, that like precious faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're supposed to add to that. And we're going to go through this next week and we'll get into all these different virtues here that we're supposed to add diligently to our faith. But the main thing you got to remember is that we got to have that knowledge. Knowledge. So virtue, we see our morality here, our motive here, but knowledge is where we begin to go. Okay, and so next week, that's where our focus will be, is focusing on that. I just want to read you a verse going over here to Colossians 1. Go to Colossians 1 with me. A couple of verses here. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. We'll read these together, then we'll have a word of prayer. I know that, I know two things. I know number one, no plan is a plan to fail. I know, number two, that if you don't plan, somebody else will have a plan for you. Okay? If you don't have a plan about how you're going to, somebody else will keep you busy, keep you occupied. I promise you that. The world is great at that. The devil loves to use the world to distract us and keep us. I often think about this. I say, what in the world did we do before we had smartphones? Oh, we talked to each other. I forgot. Okay, that's what we did back then. I remember. That's in the olden age, right? Look at verse 9 here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wouldn't you like to have that? Pray for me for that. I'll pray for you for that. That you would have the knowledge of His will, to have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that then we'd be able to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And not only that, but look at this, being fruitful in every good work and increasing, boy, there's the end game, in the knowledge of God. You know, in Ephesians 3, he had a very similar prayer there. And in verse 11, it's similar to verse 16 from Ephesians 3. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. The way he said it over there in Ephesians 3, he said we'd be strengthened in His inner man with might by His Spirit. Same thing here. It's the only way it can happen is it's got to be God that does it for us. And then it produces, look at this, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness and thanksgiving. Those are the virtues that come out of that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we know Him, we love Him more, and we subject and submit ourselves to Him and His will. He has more control of our lives. Amen. Do you think there's just a little bit more to the Christian life and what you're experiencing right now? I'm afraid there is a whole lot more in my life than what I'm experiencing right now. And it's available. Ain't nobody holding me back but me. Let's pray for one another about this. Amen. But let's definitely set our sights a little higher in the form of our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's make that priority here in our lives. Matter of fact, you know, some people do this. I've done this before. They take a word and kind of make it an emphasis for the year. You know, and I wasn't necessarily planning to do this year, but boy, when that word diligence just jumped out at me, I said, that's my word this year. And everything I do, I just want to be steady. I want to be constant. I want to be putting forth effort consistently for the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you all for listening. Let's pray. Father, it's a privilege to call you our Father, to be part of your family, God, and to be here, even in this church, Lord. Thank you for this privilege, for our pastor, for the good people you've assembled here, Lord. I pray, God, you work in our hearts and lives that you might get more glory than you ever have before from this body and from us as individuals as well, Lord. And Lord, thank you for our pastor. Pray you'd use him today. Speak through him. May we receive it, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.